Tales of the Stupid.
Stupid.
Yay!
I didn't hear an echo there.
I'm going to start off this week along with Mr. Safeword, because the two of us ran across probably one of the best.
It was enough stupid for both of you?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yes, it was.
We were over at my site. It was one of the nights that Mr. Safeword is off, and I'm working.
This is the hotel site, right?
I was not working at the hotel. I was at the area nearby the hotel.
Okay.
And I was working. Mr. Safeword came by to visit me, so I was sitting in his Jeep. We were yakking away. I think we might have... I don't even know if we were watching a movie or what.
I can't remember.
We're just sitting there hanging out when I get a call from... one of the girls that is in the area, that one of our other security guards, we have a couple of girls that work with us, and both of the girls were up at the hotel that we also do, and they had had a drunk who had wandered in from the, and I, by the way, I don't mind mentioning the Shark Club, don't ever bleep the word Shark Club out, you can always include it, because we don't do them, and I want everyone to know,
they can go fuck themselves,
just the amount of stupid that comes out of that place, so.
Yeah. If you think you might be one of the people featured negatively on the Uncle Dax show, go to the Shark Club. It's your kind of place.
So this patron had wandered from the Shark Club, had stumbled into the hotel, and apparently had sat down on the luggage cart. When one of the female guards, we'll call her S, came by to do her hourly check, she encountered him. And she tried to wake him up and couldn't really get him moving. And she immediately called the other guard that was one of our mobiles in the area. We'll call her C. Now, C managed to wake up Mr. Drunken Guy sitting on the luggage cart, where he went into the hotel rather than just sitting up at the front, sat down on the chairs that are in there, took off his shoes, collapsed, put his feet up on the back of the chairs, and lost consciousness to such a point that C and S could no longer actually wake him up, no matter what they did. They even had the desk clerk come over. They're all shaking him, trying to wake him up, which point they called me because they thought maybe he wasn't breathing and they wondered if they should call an ambulance. So I said, okay, I'll head over and we'll take a look. And
me, how can you not know if someone's breathing?
I don't want
to. Don't get into it.
They didn't want to get that close to him.
Yeah, the stink coming off this guy was amazing. So we come in and I like, hey, buddy. I give him a shake and he's still breathing. I can see that. He's got a pulse, so I'm not worried. I'm not worried at all. And at that point, I asked, well, did you guys call the cops? And they're like, yeah, we already called the cops. I'm thinking, well, why the hell did you need me if you called the cops? But anyhow...
Because we big, strong men.
Yeah. Apparently he had been...
And then Ron Jeremy came in with a pizza.
Apparently he had been a little belligerent when he had woken up and had stumbled from the luggage cart to the back of the sofa. Anyhow, I try waking him up. He's not going. I said, okay, you call the cops. We'll just sit here and we'll wait for them to come and they can deal with it. Anyhow, I'll hang around until the cops get here so that, you know, in case he gets up and he becomes a problem, you've got somebody who's got a little weight on him. No danger of that. So he just lies there, not even snoring. And about 15 minutes later, the RCMP show up. And two cops get out. We've got a supervisor in a what is that, an SUV is that she was driving?
Yeah, she was driving like one of those Yukon SUVs.
Yeah, Yukon SUVs, and other one in a regular patrol car. And they come in, and so, what you got? And we tell them, and they go over, and hey, buddy. And I'm not exaggerating this. I normally will always be given to exaggeration in a story, but this time, 100%, they spent 3 minutes trying to wake this kid up, and he was
constantly shaking. Like, they didn't stop moving him for 3 minutes.
3 minutes, just shaking him, like trying
washing machine level
of shake.
Like,
yeah, and he was not waking up. this kid was, I mean, at the point where I actually was thinking maybe it might not be a bad idea to call an ambulance because we may be looking at a serious overdose, like alcohol poisoning. So anyhow, they're shaking away at him and he's just not moving. And finally the cop said the line, which I love. And what was it?
Which line?
Hey, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, it's the police. Wake up. Or
you got to get out of here.
You got to get out of here. It's the police.
Yeah, the guy is just still not even waking up. So finally the...
Cop even tried to talk in his native gangster language and still didn't wake him up.
Yeah. Yeah. So finally, as they're literally pulling his arms, trying to like he's a freaking mannequin.
Meat puppet.
A meat puppet trying to get this thing up. One of the female cop, the supervisor, lifts his arm and starts kind of patting him down. And there's something in his vest pocket. And she pulls out a Ziploc baggie stuffed with buds. Like, totally filled with grass.
Yeah, like, well, probably close to $200 worth of weed.
$300 worth of weed. And
at today's prices? Yeah, probably.
So at that point, I just crack up. I don't care if the cops hear me or whatever. I just start bellowing laughter. I look over at Mr. Safe Word, and all he can do is just face palm himself, which made me laugh even harder. I'm sitting there pounding my face on the desk, and the desk clerk comes up and he's like, "What's going on? What's going on?" I'm like, "They just found a shitload of drugs." So say goodbye to him. But I still don't know if he's a guest yet. No.
Doesn't matter.
He's not staying here tonight.
I found him alternative accommodations.
Yes. So finally, when they pulled his feet off the back of the chair and put them down and started to literally heave him up, he starts to come to.
Yeah.
So they're, hey. What's your name? I can't tell you. Cop shakes his head. Why not? Because it's magic. I'm like, wow. You don't see stupid like this on a regular day. You know, this is not your garden variety level of stupid. This is extra special stupid. This is secret sauce level stupid. So they get his shoes on him and they pick him up and he starts to like get tough and starts to resist, and the female cop just starts pulling his hands behind him. She says, you've got a choice. You can let us handcuff you, or we're going to take you down. And trust me, you're not going to win that fight. And so he puts his hands behind his back and they cuff him. And they start leading him out the door. And he waits right till he gets to the police car. And now realizing that he's lulled the officers into a false sense of security.
Video edit. He fell down.
No. He didn't. No, he didn't fall down. Now he realizes that having lulled the police into a false sense of security, now's the time to make his break.
While in cuffs,
with the door open. Either that or the realization that, hey, I'm being taken someplace. Finally he's entered his central nervous system. And he tries to make a break for it.
And he fell down.
He's halfway in the car when he tries to do this.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he is so drunk that the female police officer, is able to hold him back with one hand on his chest. And he's literally...
It's radio, we can't...
Just straining, trying to basically push up. And it's like, you know... Remember when your big brother used to pick on you and just hold his hand on your head? She's essentially doing that.
And this is what? She's like, wait, what, 5'5", 5'6"?
5'6", maybe 120, 135
blonde
pounds.
Blonde cop. Like, yeah. You know, not very big at all.
Her equipment weighs more than she does.
Yeah.
And she's holding this drunken idiot back with one hand. Well, they finally put him down onto it, push him inside, and start trying to close the door. Well, he won't pull his feet inside, so they're closing the door on his feet. Not hard, just basically trying to push something. And every time they close it, we get a drunken, ow, ow, slam, ow, slam, ow, slam, ow. Finally, the male cop goes around to the other side, opens the door, reaches in, and we hear, ow, slam, ow. She pulls him back in. He pulls him back in, slams the door, slams the other door. At that point, the guy starts, I guess all of this is too much and everything is starting to get to him. And he starts making that kind of heaving motion that you do when you're trying not to get sick. And the female cop looks over and she goes, oh, looks like you're going to have a mess in the back of your car. And he's like, oh, fuck, no. Can you take him in your truck? And she's like, not a chance. That point, the cop's like, well, fuck that. If he's going to puke in the back of my car, I'm taking him over all of the speed bumps. Every pothole between here and the station.
Well, and, if anybody's going to know where they are, I don't know.
And I am dying. I've been sitting here literally laughing nonstop, cackling like a fucking hyena since they first woke him up and found the drugs.
It's magic.
So now we
didn't
have
the cops actually call him Magic?
Yeah, they did.
Come on, Magic, let's go.
Yeah, they started using that as his name, and they put the grass into the evidence bag, so they're not just letting him go.
Yeah.
They're charging him with all of this. So, yeah. Yeah.
So his alias is now entered in forever. He's got the coolest alias ever.
Magic.
Magic. It's like Tom Magic Jones. Hell yeah.
That's magic. See? Don't you want to be a security guard now? I mean, yeah, sure, the pay sucks. You deal with morons. Your boss treats you like crap. But
every once in a while, you get a magic show.
Sounds just like college. And I actually have a tale of stupid involving another Sharks Club patron, believe it or not. Two of them.
Oh, ooh, wow.
Wow.
Yes. This is much more recent, though. This was on Friday. I went into the city to have an anniversary dinner with my girlfriend. And when we came home, we got stuck at Surrey Central, because transit is absolutely horrid after 6 o'clock. It's once every hour if you're lucky. Occasionally the buses just don't come.
Yeah.
Now, just before the bus gets there, these two people walk towards the bus stop. Now, the description is very important. The way these people look tells you exactly how this is going to go. It's a couple. The guy, maybe 5'7", skinhead, but with a little bit of fuzz, and he's got this shaved-in stars and rainbows and rockets and all sorts of things like that, just on one side of his head.
Wow.
He's, of course, got his jeans around his knees.
Yeah.
ratty white hoodie. And his girlfriend, dyed blonde, maybe 5'6", smoking, I think, about 8 cigarettes in the 10 minutes we were waiting there. And, of course, wearing leggings for pants and an overly tight hoodie, which someone of her figure shouldn't really be wearing.
Bar star.
Bar star, yeah.
Pretty much. Now, of course, fuck was every other word they spoke.
Yeah. But then, hey, we do that.
This was special. We're getting the fucking 501 to go to the fucking Sharks Club to get a fucking drink, but can we take the fucking 501? I don't fucking know. What are you fucking talking about? This kind of conversation. Of course, yelling as loud as they can.
Yes.
Giving off all sorts of interesting smells.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, of course, they're taking the same bus as me.
Of course.
That's just my fortune.
Because God hates you.
Exactly.
And he'll tell you that on May 21st.
I'm looking forward to it for the Locust Scorpions.
It's vindication, really. So, they're just a treat on the bus.
Yeah.
Now, apparently, they'd never been to the Sharks Club before. It was recommended to them by some of their friends. Because, of course, I could hear every part of their conversation, despite the fact I was sitting as far away from this humanly possible on the bus.
You were outside, hanging under the bike rack.
That's pretty much how it was going.
Parasailing.
And the bus driver had his radio on rather loudly for some reason. Now, by the time we get to the Colossus parking ride, they're sure this is the stop. So the guy, he kind of stumbles off kind of drunkenly already, despite the fact he hasn't gotten hammered yet. And his girlfriend's just swearing at him, it's not the fucking stop yet, you fucking idiot. You gotta get back on the fucking bus. What are you fucking doing? We're not gonna get there in time, you fucking idiot. So they're like pulling each other off and on the bus while we're at Colossus. She eventually pulls him back in as the door closes on him. So, of course, the door happens to open again. The bus driver, I don't think, was very fond of opening it. And they have to go another stop. So they finally get to the actual stop, and this is where I have to get off as well, because, of course, again, God hates me, so I have to spend a little bit more time with these idiots.
Yeah.
and they knocked three elderly people out of the way getting off the bus because they really needed to get to the Sharks Club.
Ooh, so they're turning into a special kind of douchebag.
Oh yeah, very special. And just when they get off, they both start lighting up again. But these weren't normal cigarettes. None of these were brown paper-wrapped things.
Yeah,
they gave
off
conspicuous smells.
Yeah.
And they stumble off, happy and merry, we're going to go meet our friends and get fucking hammered. And I walk away hating the universe just a little bit more.
That's the end of your story?
Pretty much.
Is that was pretty good for stupid.
Yeah, like, that is amazing stupid.
What would have been better is if they got tasered at the end of your story.
Yeah.
But see, here's the thing. Since I don't work security, I rarely see the end of the experience that they have for the
evening. You can rest assured something bad
that
will
happen.
They were either... Yeah, they were either arrested, beaten up horribly.
Does his description of them sound familiar?
No, not at all. Actually, no. Actually, tell you the truth, when he mentioned the guy with the things shaved into his head, I thought I might know who it is, but no, actually...
Okay, you must be a special kind of douchebag, the fact that we're all sitting here wondering if we do know you or not.
Well, that's the thing. Again, with the shaved head thing, with the stuff carved in the side of his head there, in the hair, I've seen a few people with that.
It's not that popular, though.
No, it isn't, but I've seen a few people with it.
Has somebody that you and I were talking about earlier in the week...
No, not as far as I know. As far as I know, he's pretty much like crew cut.
I have no idea what you... I don't think anyone knows what you guys...
No, we're not. There's times where we will not mention...
They're talking in security code.
Security.
About things that we cannot... They're talking about things that cannot be talked about.
Talked about, yes.
All right. Bring the spoon and the sugar.
Yeah. We need the teaspoon and the sugar.
Not the sugar. What about the salt? No, salt.
No, not the salt. Sugar.
If you understand what you're talking about, you're our kind of people.
I like kittens.
Push up bras right,
I like unicorns fisting kittens.
Did you just say push up bras or false advertisement?
I'm gonna go away.
There's a whole bunch of bullets right there.
Yeah.
Anyway,
should we get Malcontent? You got a story?
Yeah, I think I've got it. This
get
is
your face
your close to the computer.
Okay,
come on, squish.
I'm back. I'm kissing the camera again.
There you go.
Okay.
That was just for you, Jack.
So, as you've probably been told, I recently moved to Alberta, and I decided instead of flying out, I'd try to get my car there. My car is a Chrysler Sebring, which is the second worst car Chrysler released in the new millennium next to the Neon. And it's got 211,000 kilometers on it. Not including the 1600 I just put in there.
Yeah, before he drove to Alberta.
Yeah. Now, Alberta has two seasons. It has winter, in which case there's snow, and potholes.
Season of potholes.
So, you know, pothole season is just starting here in Alberta. And, you know, I was worried about the snow going because there was actually a lot of snow on the number one in the interior of BC on the day that we left. So I was worried about that. But by the time we actually crossed the border, we started hearing this rhythmic thumping noise coming from the front wheel right under my foot. And this is the stupid part. Well, the first part is our stupid. We decided that it was nothing to worry about. Score one on the IQ-o-meter for us. Mostly because we realized we didn't have too many choices. You know, if you've ever made that drive, once you get to Hinton, there isn't even a place to pull over between Hinton and Edmonton.
You got to find a Sasquatch with a wrench.
Harry's Auto Service. So anyway, we keep driving and it keeps getting louder and louder and we're like, oh, well, we'll make it to Edmonton. And eventually it gets to the point where, like, I was trying to ignore it by turning on the radio and it is now drowning out the CD. The CD was actually skipping due to the thumping in my front wheel.
Wow.
So
that's a long walk.
Yeah, we are now outside Edson, which is halfway about between Hinton and Edmonton. So essentially, we've gone halfway through east through Alberta, and we're now heading north.
Yeah.
To go to Edmonton. So we finally decide to pull over, and there's nowhere to pull over. We're essentially pulling over onto the side of the number one, sort of sticking out halfway into the right lane, and each of us nearly gets nailed once by a truck. And so we get back in and decide we're going to push it a little farther just to get somewhere where we can actually stand and empty out the car. We eventually managed to get a tow that strangely didn't cost us anything. What did you have to do? I'm sworn to secrecy. You will never know.
You took the George Carlin method, did you?
My brother has AMA, and apparently they treat their customers really well.
AMA?
So AMA. That's sort of the Alberta Government Insurance Agency.
Ah.
Yeah, there are, and it's also sort of like BCAA as well.
Okay.
So apparently, so the hookup was free, and we found a truck driver, a tow truck driver that they sent out to us, who was actually on his way to Edmonton. So he towed us all the way there and didn't charge us anything. He billed it as if he had towed us to Edson, which would have been covered by AMA.
That's nice.
We drop it off at a car dealership, and this is where the alien stupid person comes in.
Okay.
So the car dealership examines my car. I left the keys in their drop box, but apparently they couldn't find them in their drop box. So they asked me for the keys, and I tell them I left them in your drop box. Oh, we didn't look for them there. Oh, well, that's good. You do know which car I'm talking about, right? Yeah, the green Sebring. Well, yeah, it's beige now. But yes, it was at one time green. If you scrub some away, you'll find some of the previous painting. So they finally get it in, and they look at it, and... we had gone out and priced the part, and it was going to cost us... we figured that a ball joint had gone loose in the front. So we were going to have to replace that because we had driven on it. So it wasn't just a repair job. And we had priced the part out at $460.
Okay.
So he gives us a quote of $1,100 for the same part that we had just priced out. That's just the price of the part. They're not even counting the ridiculous labor that dealerships always give you.
Yeah.
And then he starts listing off a bunch of other things that are wrong with it. You know, your tie rods have a little play in it. You know, this. In the end, he wanted me to rebuild the front end of a car with 211,000 kilometers on it. Because at any moment, it could all come rattling apart. You know, and he's saying I got to give this guy credit. He's giving it the pitch of a lifetime. So you know, we sort of give him a little salute and say thanks, but no thanks, fucking tool. And the guy that we actually had priced the part out. We told him the story about what the dealership was doing, and he called a tow truck and paid for the tow truck to tow us to his shop to get it out of there.
Nice.
So we didn't. Yeah, that guy's tops with me. If and when I get, well, it's not if and when I get rid of this car, I'm definitely going. He's definitely going to be my mechanic that I take for the next one's assessment. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we finish getting the car there. We get it repaired. We get it back, and then I get a call from the dealership.
Uh huh.
And the dealership is calling to schedule when we're going to do the repair. And I'm like, no, we're not doing it there. We're getting it done somewhere else.
They just picked up my car.
Yeah, I thought I made this abundantly clear when we took my car from your property. And he's like, oh, well, we can't release it like that. It's not safe. Well, you should have stopped the driver, maybe, because we took it. It's gone. What are you going to do?
I stole my car.
Well, essentially, that was what he said next. This is the really stupid part. He said that he's going to call AMA and see if he can't get me charged with stealing my own car.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
And then that's when you brought up the fact that you would just fucking sue him into the under earth.
I honestly don't know what I think he was planning on intimidating me into getting my car towed back to his dealership so that they could do the repair job on it.
So they could charge you five times what it's fucking worth.
Yeah. But I'm not sure how he figured I was going to do that. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? The AMA refuses to insure my car. Yeah. That's the worst that they could get out of it. In which case, I'd sell it to those people that build trebuchets. This is what I told them on the phone. That's all that would happen. If I can't get insurance for my car, I will sell it to the people who make trebuchets. In fact, I think I'll do that anyway. Yeah. I don't imagine I get much for it. So,
yeah, how much did it cost to get it fixed?
It ended up being about $600, all told.
And the other guy was going to charge you what, like
$1,100 just for the part?
Just for the part.
Yeah, for the part.
What was the total that he was going to charge you for, you figure?
Well, let's see. Labor was $90 an hour, and it's a dealership. So I'm going to say my left leg and one of my kidneys.
Wow.
That's nuts.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you. That's actually not so crazy. That's not stupid so much.
No, that's fucking dumb. Like, you stole your own car. I'm going to call you. Like,
actually, that part is dumb.
Fuck you.
I'm just talking, that's just crooked dealer. What the hell?
Like,
that's
how about I call does Alberta have, like, the Better Business Bureau?
I believe so, yeah.
So, yeah, how about I just call the Triple B there and, you know, say that you're fucking running some kind of protection scam on my fucking car.
Yeah, so that was my adventure getting here.
Okay, so who else has got a story?
Well, me and
God, I'm just gonna like
mayhem.
Leave the room. Nobody can
remember. Mayhem.
We need to get name tags. Next show, I will get us name tags.
Hi, I'm Uncle Dak.
Yeah.
Well, even regular people, I just refer to as Hey You. So you know,
Hey You.
But we got one that actually all of us share. I think most of us were there for this one. It was down at the Sharks Club.
Yep.
But it was for their beer and wine store. Mm. Okay, so we were all standing over in front of the hotel. And we're just bullshitting. It was the end of a shift. And we're all in uniform. And we're all just sitting, standing outside the hotel. And we hear this boom. And we're like, what the hell was that? And it literally, it's like,
they're calling
it's like
the
a
cultist
minute. It was like a minute, and we're like, huh. Then we hear this crash. And we're like, oh, that's better. So we go running over there. We go running around the corner, okay, to the front of the beer store. And I can't remember. I think Mayhem was in the lead.
Yeah, I got there first.
And he spot, and we all, and I come around the corner, and there's this kid. He's around like 18.
Maybe. Yeah.
17, 18. And he's got his arms through the window, front window of the beer store that has a hole in the window. And he's reaching and trying to grab bottles off the wine rack on the display in front of the beer
and
store.
And there are like white crisscross bars on the actual window, so he's reaching through those to get at the bottles as well.
Yeah. And well, he guess he hears us coming up behind him, or not. I don't know, but Mayhem grabs him, and what happened? You grabbed him by the back of his shirt, I think.
Yeah, I grabbed him by the back of his shirt and pulled him out of the window. And he still had one of the wine bottles in his hand. So after his arms got fully out of the window, he turns and tries to take a swing at me with the wine bottle. which he misses,
and then I cut him in half.
Yeah, he misses the wine with the wine bottle.
Is this where you did the spear tackle?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd like you to.
It was like the best and worst rugby game you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And imagine a cave troll cutting a little dwarf kid in half.
Yeah, it was. Oh God!
Well, no, he spins around, tries to nail me with the wine bottle. I disarm the get him the wine bottle out of his hand. It smashes all over the ground, and I more or less spin him around and throw him towards Cave Troll.
So he's traveling. He's been pushed in my direction, and I'm already got the going momentum forward.
Momentum on that point,
and I spear tackle him straight down into the broken glass of the bottle.
Yeah,
think of a little sparrow flying into a train.
Wow! and then he was, and then I hear from underneath me, I hear this, and I'm like, "All right, you're okay." And I roll him over, and he doesn't. There wasn't any like real broken glass or anything, but he's got wine all down him. Smells like a wino. Okay, he's got some broken glass in his jacket and stuff like that, but nothing huge. So he's okay, but he immediately what comes out of his mouth is "Take me to jail." And we're like, "What?" He's like, "I want to go to jail."
Well,
okay, yeah. We can make that happen. You've come to the right folks, people.
Oh,
and so. I can't remember who called the cops.
I did.
You called the cops.
I showed up. I was standing at...
Yeah.
And I just see these police cars go... I'm like... Huh! So I ran over there and I see Cave Troll on top of this, what I thought was a person. And there's wine everywhere. And the first thing I thought, I'm like, oh, what did he do?
It doesn't look in the... It's, you have to understand, this is at night.
And red wine.
So all you have for light is the reflection of neon...
Yes, it's yellow neon... Light,
yeah. And some street light that's off in the distance, and it's reflecting there, and it looks like blood.
Yeah, when I first showed up, I thought you might have killed somebody because he wasn't moving. You were on top of him, and there was red everywhere. I'm like, huh.
And funny enough, that's exactly what the cops thought.
Yeah, the cops pulled up, like, holy shit!
But the first line out of the cop's mouth: "What the hell did you do to him?"
I thought the cop was going to tackle me.
Yeah.
Well, I think the when they were coming up to us, I think they it was either the tasers or the guns. They had their hands on something.
Oh, sweet Jesus. We always knew they'd go bad.
And the entire time we're waiting for the cops, the kid, I'm like, why do you want to go to jail? And he starts feeding me this story like, well, the youth home I'm at, they beat me up all the time. And the guy said that if I didn't bring back a bottle of alcohol, they're... He's going to hurt me and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't believe you. And he's like, but no, you know, if you just let me go, I'll go. No, I'm not going to let you go anywhere.
Didn't he say at one point he was going to turn himself in?
Yeah. He's like, I was just going to turn myself in. And I'm like, uh-huh. That's why he tried to take a wine bottle to my buddy's head. That's nice.
Nice.
Way to turn yourself in there, boy.
There's a fault in this plan.
Yes.
That ensures I'll get a long sentence so I don't have to go back to the home.
The thing is that he that's not the worst part of his plan. Okay, what had happened is he was walking along, and I guess he didn't want to go back to the youth home or whatever his little sad story was. And he sees some bricks, some spare bricks that somebody had dumped next to the dumpster.
Yeah.
So he picks one up, goes, and tries to chuck it through the beer store window, and it bounces back
at him.
That
was the boing.
That was the boing.
And so he goes, and he doesn't pick up that stone again. He goes back to the dumpster, grabs another one, walks
that was,
back.
Well, that was
this brick
a bad
is defective.
This was defective.
The brick was defective.
Rubber bricks.
And I guess the second time it kind of worked. And it goes through, and it went all the way through the window, actually. Because there was two panes of glass, so he made it all the way through, and then he waited, looked around, and then he's like, "Oh, nobody's coming," and that's when he climbed up and started reaching for bottles just as we came around the corner.
Oh, and the real stupid part of that was, again, it was at the Sharks Club. The beer store is attached to the Sharks Club,
And this was on a, I think it was like a Thursday night or something like that.
Yeah.
It's around midnight, so the club is still open. And, you know, it's around the corner where the kid was breaking into the store.
But the alarm goes off through the whole building.
Yeah, the alarm's going off in the building. The staff at the Sharks Club itself have no idea what the fuck is going on.
So they come around the corner just as I nail the kid. So when the kid looks up, there's something like four security guards and like six bouncers standing around him. Like, and they don't look happy.
I thought the track the bouncers run on ends at the front door there in that in that patio.
I don't know. They just wanted to see what all the broken glass sounds were and all that.
Well, yeah, they had no idea. What
suddenly, a wild bouncer appears.
Yes.
But this kid and his story keeps changing. Like, it was this kid with a knife. He told me I had to bring back booze, and then all of a sudden it was this gang of kids, and then all of a sudden it was just. I can't remember what
I think he said, like his dad or
his
something.
His dad or something.
His dad, yeah.
Or his cousin Magic.
Yeah. Like, it would have been a decent sob story. You know.
Wait. Did he have, except for the fact that it was a lie. Did this guy have some things cut into the side of his hair?
This was like 4 years ago.
I just thought maybe we could bring all the stories.
This was at least 4 years ago.
At least 4 years ago, yeah.
I know. I was trying to bring all the stories.
No, I know, but
it didn't work. But the cop comes over, and he starts telling the cop the story. Do you remember the cop's reaction? Yeah, that was amazing. Get in the cuffs. Get in the car.
I'm not even putting them on you. You put them on yourself, then you get in the car. You're fucking booking yourself.
Yeah. Get in the car. Slam. And he's just like, okay, so what happened? Like the kid didn't say, didn't register with the cop at all. He just turns around and goes, okay, so what happened? Well, we... You know, stole the wine, you know, right here, and he's like, "All right, I'll be back tomorrow for the footage." He like didn't question anything. Not, no. He was like, "Yep, kid's coming with me."
Well, he did ask to be taken to jail.
Yep, there you go. Don't say I never gave anybody what they wanted. I'm here to serve the public.
All right, Longbeard, you got a story?
Oh, I got me a story. I'll tell you.
Hey, that sounded the most pirate Longbeard's ever sounded.
Yeah, right? That was pretty good.
I got a story, says I.
Yeah, it's starting to wear off.
anyway. Yeah, it's only been 2 months.
So, yeah, no kidding. There I was at a nondescript restaurant, or can I mention the name?
No.
Didn't think so. And, I had been there all of 10 minutes, and this girl comes up, taps me on the shoulder, says, "Excuse me, can I get your autograph?"
What?
"Can I have your autograph?" She's got a pen and a napkin, so I know she's serious. And I'm like, why? She's like, "Well, you're Rob Zombie, aren't you?" Now,
at least she didn't say Jesus, because the T-West kids are there all the time.
Now, next time you take a look at Rob Zombie, you can note that he has something carved into his forehead, for one. Two, he's got dreadlocks that go all the way down his ass, which clearly I don't. And, yeah, no, there's like a huge list.
Well, to be fair, he actually doesn't have dreadlocks anymore.
Oh, he doesn't?
No. Okay.
But the thing is, the only thing you and Rob Zombie have in common is, one, you both have a beard, and two, I think you're both humanoid. And that's it.
What? Oh, the hat.
Not wearing the hat at the time.
No. Oh, he was in uniform.
All you've got long hair. No, he wasn't working for us.
This was 2 weeks ago.
Two weeks ago? Yeah. I thought you were back when you were working for us.
No. Yeah. Anyway, so I sort of straight. No, I'm not nearly as old as Rob Zombie. I'm way too young for that. And clearly I'm not Rob Zombie. She's like, "Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed." And she went back to her table. Well, I thought that'd be the end of it. So I'm sitting here, you know, joking with everybody around me. Yeah, they thought I was Rob Zombie. Well, she comes back with her camera phone out, saying that she had already texted her friends ahead of time saying that that Rob Zombie was there and she was going to get to meet him. And so she wanted a picture.
Oh, sigh.
So I'm like, well, okay, why not? You know, whatever. So there I am taking a picture with this complete stranger. And I'm Rob Zombie, here we go. And before she left, she had two other tables completely, thoroughly and utterly convinced that I, in fact, was Rob Zombie. it didn't really help matters that I decided to get all the other regulars in on it too. And yeah. they're like, "Hey, Rob!" And I'd be like, "What? What's going on?" And yeah. then all of a sudden I ended up in about three or four different pictures with about three or four different groups of drunk people.
So Rob Zombie is going... By the way, we should point out that the nondescript restaurant that serves breakfast... and it's a national known chain, beginning with D.
And now has the formerly named Bacon Sunday.
Ooh, bacon.
And rhymes with pennies.
Yeah. Well, I see you're not just as simple as a rhino in a porcelain
shop.
What
are we talking
about?
You bring
a porcelain shop with you.
Anyhow, is right next to the hotel...
Which is right
next
to
the
Sharks
Club. Meaning that
which
more
is right
than
next
like
to the house that Jack built.
Yeah. Meaning more than likely these people were Sharks Club's patrons.
Oh, it gets better. Well, not really better, but
good Lord.
It continues.
All right. Oh. So, that was 2 weeks ago. Last night I'm on my way to pick up Mayhem over there from his site at a different pub altogether. And the cook saw me pull in and thought I looked like Rob Zombie.
He's like, "Hey, is that Rob Zombie in that car?"
For the love of fucking God, you don't look like Rob Zombie.
Rob Zombie has muscles. You have none.
I have muscles.
They're just buried.
Yeah, but I think Rob Zombie's like, what, 5'5"? He's not very tall.
He's big, isn't he?
No.
No.
He's not that tall.
He's built, but he's not.
But he has an X. Carved into his forehead.
I know. It's fairly distinct, people. I mean, really.
And he doesn't have a long beard like you do. He's just got—he's got a beard, but it's not like yours is long. Yeah, it comes straight down.
He had a full beard for a while. I don't know.
Yeah. Yours is what? 6 inches?
Wait, let me stretch it out.
6 inches.
Well, yes, 6 inches. That's what I tell the ladies.
Oh, sorry.
They don't have the little measuring spot at 7-Eleven for that type of thing.
Wait. Let's see. If I put my middle finger up to my chin, it reaches all the way down to almost the bottom of the palm of my hand.
Jesus Christ!
And I don't have the smallest hands either. They're not exactly very manly.
Yeah, it's a big beard.
It's a big beard.
It's
bigger than Rob Zombie's.
It's a long beard.
Wow!
Anybody got something I can stick in it?
What? What?
Anybody got something I can stick in it, like a pen or something?
It's radio. They're not going to see it anymore.
Oh. I'm
not letting you stick things in your beard in my house.
This, hey,
stop, Freddy.
All right.
You can't stick things into your beard. You don't know what might drop out.
It'd be like that, the Family Guy episode? Where
birds living in his beard, yeah.
Hey, that episode is realistic.
You're telling me.
And on that note...
Wow.
Everyone, have a good night. Tune in next week when the show might actually have a little bit more semblance of sanity. I doubt it, but what the fuck?
What the hell are you trying to strive for here?
I think this is the most sane show we've had yet.
Have a good night.
Are we done yet?